Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris, how you doing, man? Let's try this again. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Hey, there we Appreciate go. You guys having me.
Of course. Now, you know, you in the title of your column that you have up, it says, it's taken away what we love about college football. Before any of this and conference realignment kind of comes into our purview, you know, what is it that attracts you to college football to where you wanted to make it your career and what you love about college football?
Well, what I love about college football is a lot of it is not the football part. You know, if I wanted to see the best football played, I would go watch the NFL. I like college football for the pageantry, for the alumni connections, for the small towns. I mean, it's really a lot more comparable to English soccer in a way than it is some other pro sports. It's not like, you know, Oklahoma football is not going to threaten to relocate to another city or something like that, like you're seeing with the Buffalo Bills now. College sports are just different. It's more grounded and connected. But when you see stuff like conferences starting to disconnect, I think that sends us down a bad path.
I mean, one of the things that I love about the conference alignments, the original ones that we had, were the fact that, you know, it was also a cultural alignment, right? I mean, in the out west in the Pac-12, we had the Pacific Coast Conference was, you know, all West Coast teams. The Big Ten, Big 12 was your Oklahoma and Texas schools and Kansas schools in there. The Midwest is the Big Ten, and the South is the SEC and the ACC. Do you think that is going to hurt the popularity of the game at all because of those ties that you say, like, are people in Stillwater or that went to school in Stillwater, Oklahoma, are they going to watch? Do you think it is something that will actually divide college football, or are we so entrenched that we'll never get to that point?
Well, college football has always been a regional sport, and there have been people who have tried to make it national. That's what the playoff tries to do, but it doesn't work that way. And when you leave people behind, they don't just become a fan of another team. Like it's not like the NFL where every team is its own image, but the overall identity is the same. You're cheering for the NFL. You're cheering on the NFL. That's how in college sports you're not cheering on the NCAA or something like that. You're cheering on your specific school. And like I've heard from Iowa State fans who are concerned about, you know, if the Big 12 goes away and Iowa State gets relegated to some smaller conference, it's going to be really hard to pass on that Iowa State fandom to their kids, is what these fans told me. It's not like you just pick another team that you like. For the most part, you're liking the team that you're either nearby or you have a connection to, like you went to. And it's not like, again, it's not like pro sports. And I think we're heading down a path where if it's mega conferences, if it's a super league of 25 teams, the people that get left behind, it's not like those fans are going to translate elsewhere. They're just not going to be fans of college football anymore.
We're talking to Chris Vanini of The Athletic, covers college football. Now, you know, I loved the Super League because it just brought chaos and it brought an upheaval, and we saw how angry that people got. And that's something that you bring up in your column here, is about how fans, they squashed what was the Super League forming. Is in the, when you were talking about how regionalized college football is, in the only thing that I could see in the power of the SEC and what it means, are we seeing the SEC kind of get more power than ever? Because that is the only conference in my mind where if Alabama and Georgia said, no, we're splitting up and we're going separate ways, that seems like it'd be the only conference in the country that you would have this, that sort of upheaval from fans and the people who actually cut the checks, like the alumni base. Am I crazy in thinking that, or do you think the Pac-12, we know the Pac-12 one, do you think the Big Ten would have that sort of reaction, or is it truly just showing the power of the SEC?
Well, an example of the power of the SEC is they don't have an exit fee. You're free to leave the conference if you want, but you're not going to want to do that, and they know that. So that's why it's positioned that way. Yeah. And the Big Ten, you know, you wonder if down the road, if the school has new leadership, a new AD 10 years from now, if the Ohio States and the Michigans think, hey, maybe I don't want to play with the Northwesterns and Indianas anymore. Maybe we want to go join some kind of Super League. And the Super League fell apart because the fans revolted against it, but it was the fans of those teams that were going to benefit from it. The fans of the teams that were going to make gazillion more dollars. And we're not getting that here. Texas and Oklahoma fans, for the most part, are not against this joining the SEC. And the only way to slow that kind of thing down is if those specific fans do it. So would Alabama and Georgia fans be upset about leaving the SEC? I mean, if you make a Super League that's made out of would have at least half of the SEC. I mean, if you kicked out Vanderbilt, I don't think any Alabama fans would shed a tear. So that's why we get down this road where Texas has left two conferences in 25 years, leaving a lot of people behind, and they won't think twice to do it again to some of those lower SEC schools if the opportunity arises.
What happens to Group of Five in all of this? Is this good or bad for them?
Well, it could be good, could be bad. I mean, you're really looking at the American and the Big 12. So obviously, the Big 12 is alleging that the ESPN is trying to get the American to take some Big 12 schools, which would dissolve the conference and save ESPN a lot of money. But Bob Bowlesby said today that losing Texas and Oklahoma would cut the Big 12 television revenue in half, and that would be about $14 million per school. Oof. But that would still be double what the American schools are getting, your UCFs and Cincinnati and Houston. So the idea of if the Big 12 falls apart, if the American can add a bunch of Big 12 schools, that'll be really good for the American. But the flip side is if the Big 12 decides to add the top schools to the American, that really creates that knocks the American down quite a bit. And that Group of Five as a whole is probably knocked down quite a bit. So it's probably better for the Group of Five if the Big 12 kind of falls apart and goes into these other conferences, because it would elevate the American, it would elevate the Mountain West, as opposed to the opposite, which would be the Big 12 rating them.
Now, this is because of Texas and Oklahoma. The rumor mill's already been starting, and, you know, the report that Clemson kind of shot down about Clemson and Florida State reaching out to the SEC now. 5 years down the road, where do you think college football is as far as how many conferences we have? Because it appears the 12-team playoff we're getting, right? We're heading down that road, expanded playoff. What do our conferences look like in 5 years in your mind?
Well, what we really need to keep an eye on is late last week, the NCAA announced it's going to have a constitutional convention in November, December, essentially rewriting a lot of its organization. And it's expected top conferences like the SEC are going to have a lot more power coming out of that. And if they have the ability to get more scholarships, if they have the ability to pay players or do something else, that could speed up this process of Super League or mega conferences. Now, we still got like 4 years left on a lot of these TV deals. I imagine these conferences are going to those. SEC is going to get a new deal. Big Ten is going to get a new deal. But if you're looking 6 years after that, then I think we start looking at major changes toward Super League or whatever. So we could see some more realignment here. We could see the Big Ten maybe try to do something with the Pac-12 coming up. But 5 years, I think it'll be pretty similar. But 5 years after that, I'm not so sure.
I mean, that's kind of what we have out here is basically what Oklahoma is going through right now. The state of Oklahoma, where, you know, in Oregon and Oregon State, Washington State, you have, you know, the University of Washington and University of Oregon. Their profile is a lot higher than Oregon State and Washington State, respectively. If you sit there and you look at the Big Ten and the Pac-12 kind of doing a partnership, would that be not to leave those programs behind? Or do you think that ultimately what we would see is a lot of what we consider Power Five schools leaving?
Yeah, it would save those Washington states and Oregon states, because the other option is the Big Ten just straight up taking your USC's and Oregon's and Washington's and creating a western part of the conference, essentially, which, I mean, I think everybody was stunned by that Oklahoma-Texas news, that I don't think anything's off the table, but I think everybody's going to kind of keep an eye over their shoulder now.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic, man, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and love the work that you do. Keep it up, man.
Yep, thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.